Thank you guys for organizing this and for having me here. It's a great pleasure. And I already enjoyed preparing presentation, and now it's time to also enjoy live presentation together here with you. Once again, good afternoon. My name is Roman Smirák. I come from Czech Republic, head of Agile Lean Coaches. And today I will be talking about delight. Do you feel delighted? Does your customer feel delighted about what you do? The teammates or people inside your team, are they delighted to work and produce something valuable? So that's the basic topic. But first, let me introduce myself. I started my career 12 years ago, and today we are having a simple mission to transform a company of approximately 20,000 people to be lean and agile, to work according to that principles and values. And as you can see, not only me, but the whole team actually shares their knowledge and passion on various IT conferences. We try to be part of communities, various communities, and we are also part of a couple of TIVIT programs like the Cloud Software Finland, where we also share the knowledge and lessons learned with other colleagues from companies like NSN, Ericsson, Nokia, Reactor, F-Secure, you name it. I listed their logos here, but also researchers from Finland, from Helsinki, Aalto, Oulu, and so on. Our Lean champion or Lean sponsor, Sampo Salonen, who owns this Lean transformation, which I'm part of, he usually asks at the very beginning of every meeting, he asks, "Hi, why are you today?" Instead of "How are you?" he asks, "Why are you today?" Right? What is your mission? What part of world are we going to save today? What is the mission definition for today? So I was thinking, what should be the message? Why to discuss Lean and Agile together with you? Why I should tell something about it? And then I sort of put together a couple of basic challenges, not only in theater, but I see that in the industry worldwide. It's basically the situation that we no longer can sell whatever we produce, whatever we code. We cannot expect that our customer would buy it, as it was 15, 20 years ago. There was a lot of money. Everybody was investing like hell into the new trend called IT software. So no problem. You could spend and waste the money. But today, even my father is actually buying the stuff via internet. Well, first you need to know my father to understand what a big step forward. You know, but he's also reading comments on Facebook and Google and reading reviews, and he can see how many people like a certain product or plus want the product. So if the buyers, if the customers don't like the product, then you know it very quickly. You can search for it very quickly. And that totally changed the situation than it used to be 20 years ago. The second thing is that experiencing a couple of financial crises, as they call it, creates totally new environment. The predictability is no longer here, but we still try to react and use the same mental models to solve it, to react to the decreasing profits, to the financial situation, to still keep the existing status quo, to keep the existing thinking. And then we also have people within the company who are supposed to produce products that delight the customers, but they are part of very large organization. And I'm talking about 1,000 people working on the same project, complex, very, we should rather call it program or portfolio of products. And as Vasco pointed out this morning, We have separate sales organizations selling like hell whatever they have in their hands in order to meet their target, sales target, and then hand over to a development or R&D, and they just, in Ostrava, in Pune, in India, or elsewhere, they just scratch their head, what I should deliver, what is actually this sentence about. So they are totally disconnected and very far, actually, from someone who is buying them or putting a stamp on a Facebook or on the internet. This is a good stuff, guys. You should buy it. They are very far from that. We are far from that. We are also part of it. So there are many challenges companies like ours are trying to solve today. And nobody has an answer. I personally believe that we have the answer already in our life. So our way we experience things, our skills, our strengths, what you were successfully able to do already gives you good stuff, good potential to answer and solve the problem you are solving. And why I think so, my own story is a good proof or good example of that. Because my own story let me understand, finally, after 10 years, what I should do and what I should focus on. And it all started around 2000, year 2000, when I was very passionate about technology, especially Java, programming, designing the code. And I aimed for perfection. I really enjoyed architecting, solving the problems, but oops, in the real life, I never had time to finish the perfect idea. It was always hectic. I was producing the code, imperfect code, in haste, because there was no time. We were late already, and we skipped testing, so we had to also in parallel, solve the problems of the previous release. And I hated this kind of environment where I couldn't do proper job. So I then start to aim for better environment that would let not only me, but also my colleagues to master their skills and to show how great they are in solving complex problems and to develop a code which they could be proud of, right? We have open source community. People really enjoy contributing good stuff, but that's not happening in everyday's reality in commercial company. So then around year 2005-06, because we were more and more successful with our existing complex distributed product development, which was in Finland, in Czech, and it was very innovative. So people started asking and pulling help. So I started providing consultancy to project managers. My goal was to help them and B, make the environment better for other teams so they could again feel better and practice their skills. It worked to some extent, but soon I realized, together with my team, which I was forming, I realized that it's not enough to consult project managers, that the sales is heavily influencing not only managers. And it's not only sales, it's also customers. They are expecting something fast. You heard it this morning, Vasco pointed out very important points. So soon, it was actually the way we organized cross-functional workshops, we call them Kaizen workshops, I will tell about it later, where we invited all important parties to discuss the problem. And that was a very powerful concept. But again, I still felt something was missing. Because during that time, the company was every year or every second year was announcing new organization, new structuring, layoffs. And that all had a bad impact. everybody was complaining about heavy corporate processes and everything. So it was also this dimension which we started addressing last year when this strategic program started. So addressing the environment to get rid of obstacles for Agile. And our basic logic, what I have just said, is pretty much summarized on this slide. So in order to deliver something customers would like to buy and give us thumbs up, we need to have engaged and motivated people first. So then letting them to improve the environment, connecting people together, and that eventually results in a product which the customers delight. But my personal mission is nothing else than enabling them the honest craftsmanship and to follow what you can read in Agile books, because that's not happening in reality. In most of the cases I have seen, it's not happening. A couple of examples that I can use here to demonstrate what we have been doing and achieving. This is one example, small team in Ostrava. Small team, they joined that Kaizen workshop, they figure out what needs to be done, and in a couple of weeks, they were able to save €500,000 from their income. And it's been always a challenge to explain why teams should start thinking about improvements, why they shouldn't rather implement some task or grab something from the backlog, because that means money. Improvement or reflection, thinking, communicating, it's just internal stuff, and we report it to admin task. So it's a waste. We should get rid of that. When we showed this, every manager was immediately pulling that, buying that, and asking, hey, what did you do? Can we also do that in our case? A long-term example, it started in 2009, and we were able to not only ramp up a team of 50 people in Ostrava over 6 months, totally new people, but we were also able to improve the quality of the product, be faster, and it also then continued with workshops, joint workshops with customers, so we get them involved in sprint reviews and so on. It means this product means more than 100 different companies and millions of users. So it wasn't an easy task to get organized in an agile way, meaning that you get someone who will give you a feedback every second or third week. Customers, they were following their plans they created half a year or 1 year ago. So it was a huge achievement. And another example of a joint workshop with customer. Last 2 years, we've strongly focused on joint activities together with customers. And you cannot be truly agile if you follow fixed price contract. Even time and material contract is still not very well supporting agile development. So together with customers, we were brainstorming what are the root causes of existing problems and how can we actually contract it better so it supports the agile way of working. And again, very positive feedback from customer. This was trust gainer. When we run 2 days of honest brainstorming with a customer, the trust jumped 5-10 levels up at the end. And just a funny example, at the end they realized that they can shrink offering period where sales negotiates with a customer. They were able to shrink it from 6 months to 2 weeks. So previously they were waiting 12 months, easily 9 months, to get simple features implemented in the system. Now, practical experience regarding Agile or Scrum, if you want to use one concrete method. What it can deliver for you, for your teams, for your organization. And this is now real-life experience. It's not what Ken Schwaber is saying in the book. It's the real-life experience of many rather large companies in Finland, that it helps really to integrate to some extent sales and project management and development, testing, R&D part. So meaning the product owner and this kind of basic things. In reality, the sales is not so much connected as we would like to have them, as you heard from Vasco this morning. You get fast responses to changing environment, so the teams are able to deliver faster, something which is better for a customer. And you get happier developers and testers. Today, it's totally different situation than 6-10 years back when I started talking about Agile. You have plenty of studies. You can Google those statistics proving that it works like this. I didn't want to bother with this kind of statistics. But this is not the whole story. Even if you achieve that you have a good team, motivated team of developers, it's not enough. So that's why we started focusing and talking about Lean within our organization, because when we approach middle management, they were saying, yeah, we heard about Agile. It's some kind of toy or tool for developers. Just do whatever you want, but deliver the report at the end of week or month. And that was the best case. Right. But talking about Lean management, leadership, Lean principles, it was something even the executive vice presidents already heard, also outside IT. So it was much easier to talk about Lean at that level. And what it does for you, it helps to integrate the management vertically. Within typical organization, you have several layers of management. It's not only project management, it's many managers above. Yeah, we can say it's a waste, but before we start to promote some other solution than the existing one, we just need people to be in line, to be connected together. Integrating, truly integrating the end-to-end process. So not only one development team and ideally product owner from sales, but integrating and putting also customer in and also operations. So again, Vasco was mentioning this morning an example of IT not able to deliver a server for a development team. Systematic and continuous improvement versus free-form retrospective. From Scrum, you know, the teams should conduct retrospective at the end of sprint. There is a simple question, what shall we improve? What went well and what can be improved, and that's it. In Lean, and this is part of our core Lean at Stieto, the systematic way for the company and one common language regarding improvements, and we capture them on so-called A3s. The thing is, we are in IT, and you get basically all the people involved. You get them much more satisfied with the work they do. And by knowledge worker, I want to emphasize that IT is a little bit different than manufacturing. When you start using, for instance, A3s from Lean or any kind of tool from Lean, it is a different story to put an improvement to reconfigure a machine, or you talk about people, how they should change the behavior, how we should be organized in a different way. It's totally different story. And then also the tools from Lean, like A3, suddenly you are wondering, hey, how does it fit exactly to our situation? Very important hypothesis, again proven, that if you search for faster, better product, there is a relation to the way you are organized and you communicate inside your organization. So the way you are able to communicate between sales and R&D team, operations and R&D, different layers of management, this will actually predict the quality of your product. Therefore, that's why we introduced those lean workshops, and we call them Kaizen workshops. And it's a 2 days event. There is a couple of days preparation, and there is obviously follow-up activities, but the actual event where different people meet at the same place, it's 2 days. Whenever we went for a shorter period, it was almost disaster. The thing is that you actually have someone from sales, someone from R&D side, someone from operations, someone from customer, someone from administration or representing company's bureaucracy, or CEO, or someone from strategy team. And you start talking how things flow from the beginning till the end. If we offer something to our customer, if we start negotiating with him, if we start developing the solution, if we start supporting that, if we transform a service, a backup of servers of a customer, and we start caring about it internally, how the process looks like. But not the official one, but how it goes in reality. And even that exercise is really eye-opening for everyone. People tend to focus on their playground, sandbox, whatever. I am a manager of this unit. Do not touch it. Everything's all right in our case. In our unit, everything's fine. It's the assholes over there who are the real problem. And you should focus on them. They are really making troubles here. So R&D pointing finger to sales. Sales is pointing finger back to R&D or customer. In the best case, you have common enemy. It's called customer. Guys who are support to run 24/7 support of the application are, of course, screaming, shouting that R&D guys didn't provide any architecture description, that there are unknown ways, unlimited ways to configure the product, and they have absolutely no clue how to do it. Everybody's pointing finger. And the best game is when the countries start to blame each other. I really enjoy the game between Finland and Sweden. It's really interesting. But it's everywhere, you know? And when we conduct such a workshop where also different people from different countries are involved, it's no longer a blame game. The only aim is to make our organization and process better. That's the focus. And people start acting, working together to make it better. And even that experience changes their relation the day after, the way they communicate. Because it's no longer about to blame them and wait, because it's their problem, so I wait until they fix it. It's their responsibility. So during that exercise, they identify what are actual obstacles and sources of the problems and problem behind the problem. We tend to respond or react. I have a headache, let's take a painkiller, without knowing the real reason for that. So then, when we understand the real source of the problem, we implement simple solution. Meaning, if you cannot implement it in 1 month, then you very likely, in 90% of the cases, you are not able to fix it at all. Small steps, we call them Kaizen steps to fix that. But as I said, just this event changes their approach and life from that moment. So this is one concrete example how we boost the team thinking, how we improve the communication between different silos. And I have just perfect example from 1 week back, or 1 or 2 weeks back, here in Helsinki, not here, we are in Jyväskylä, but in Finland, Helsinki. It was a workshop. Guys from 3 different countries, they came to the same workshop, and suddenly what we weren't able to explain in 1 year, we are the experts, they should listen, but they are stupid managers, for some reason they still don't get it. But if you let them to understand, if you gather them and they use their own logic and you show them facts, you visualize it, it's a different story. It saves a lot of time, a lot of effort. So this is the way how we aim for improving the communication. But again, it requires concrete people. It's not a silver bullet that you can just roll out and it works from tomorrow. I had an interesting meeting with Forrester analyst, principal Forrester analyst. And he said to me, hey guys, you are a very interesting example because it seems that you are very serious and you take it really as a long-term initiative. Because what he knew was many companies in India or US implementing Agile and Lean, but doing it a button-like approach. So they ask this principal consultant, could you please deliver a button which we would push and we are lean from next week on? But this takes a long time, so it's very unpopular. And this is what we call inside the company Lean at Tieto. This is one example that we distribute this brochure so everybody can access it, everybody can get it. We have a focus on certain teams and people within the company, not whole company at the time, where we continue team by team to help them to build this team culture and team thinking, continuous improvement. Result, customers are more happy, people are more satisfied if they come to work next morning. Higher motivation, so it answers the question how to motivate people. It answers the question how to deliver better product. And of course, they find huge waste. We are talking about from 500,000 to even 7-8 million in some cases, which you are able to save. So this is our answer to the questions which I posted in the beginning. And now it's time for your questions. I aim for a very fast presentation so we have enough time to discuss it. We have 10 minutes for questions. Can we run with microphone up there?
All right. Could you please elaborate more about the Lean workshop? Do you have a specific agenda? Do you always do it in the same way?
Very good question. We have, let's say, the architecture is the same, but we very much improve workshop by workshop, so it's never exactly the same workshop. We are somehow we also, as a coaches, we need to be excited, and that means we need to try something new, something better next time. The stable architecture is, in the first place, you introduce why you are there. The coach should a little bit make people excited to contribute to that workshop. The common goal, why do we want to achieve what we want to achieve? Understanding why we are there. Motivating people to really contribute, that it's connected to their future. Then it's this value stream mapping exercise. So visualizing the process from the beginning till the end and visualizing how much value-related activities or how much time we spend on value-related activities versus waste. Uncovering also the problems within the flow. Prioritizing, focusing. So prioritizing top three areas, maximum three areas where you focus on. And then using, for instance, 5 whys technique. We are developing our own version of 5 whys because it's usually not so easy to have one answer immediately. You know, so it's a plenty of question answers, and then you need to prioritize. We do something we call backtracking to understand if we have the right answer. So root cause or a couple of root causes, again, focus. And then brainstorming solution. And that's chapter of its own, how to organize that. We use several facilitation techniques to do that efficiently so people are still having fun. What I would emphasize at this point, if you read the book called The Switch, there are plenty of wonderful ideas. One of them, very, very unknown, we are not only rational beings, you know, logical, cold, fair, objective, which we IT guys pretend to be only, focusing on tools, discussing, you know, agenda of the workshop and so on. But we are also emotional. And if you don't create an emotion, people get bored and they don't contribute as much as they can. We are still kids. And if kids play, if they enjoy what they do, they are discovering, they are creating new possibilities, we are kids. We have also emotions, so we shouldn't forget about this one. So we are still brainstorming how to improve on and on. We have plenty of different workshops. Kaizen workshop is just one of them. Was that the answer or anything?
Yep. Do you have to be at the same place for everyone for the workshop?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, every time I get the same request. Can we do it over live meeting, which means over the internet, like Skype, you know? But this is one of the things, this is the emotion that you share something and that you are connected to the people, you see their body language and so on. You see that they are interested to solve it together with you. They have same goal, same objective, and you cannot transfer it over the phone. So absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
My question is that when big organizations are changing to the lean, they seem to go in some blur phase then it's quite difficult to convince the benefits of the lean.
And the question?
And
it's
the question
it's
is,
fact, yes.
Question is that how can you... How you are handling this blur phase?
Right. What is the current reality? The current reality consists of many managers who went through traditional management education, and they were educated to be very good bean counters or penny counters. So only taking care of what's coming out of this month or this quarter, because we are driven by quarter economy. So they care about this. And if you come up with a philosophy, lean philosophy, which is long-term oriented, it's something which is blurry, which is not tangible. It can mean in 90% of the cases that we are taking the wrong direction. All right. How can we solve this dilemma? Does it mean that we need to fire all the managers? But where are the new ones, the good ones? Or without managers, teams are not ready to be self-managed, self-directed at this point. All right, so we need to somehow use what we have in our hands at this moment. We are all agile guys, so how did we solve the same dilemma in software development? We also produce very complex products. But we split it into small iterations and we demonstrate the value very quickly to know that we are on the right track, but we don't forget about the ultimate vision, right? We have some long-term vision, what we want to build, but at the same time, we also think of minimal viable product or some demonstration of the value that would convince the customers and give us stamp, yes, you are on the right track. You will not end up in the black hole. So we try to do the same. So every improvement should demonstrate the benefits and connect it to existing management targets, which typically is profit, dealing with huge cost structure, this kind of things. I'm not saying it's perfect, but once you pass successfully the initial phase that they buy it and you set up the relationship, you spend time with them, you coach them, it's changing. The example which I had earlier, it was exactly the same. The first 3 months or 6 months, we had to spend a lot of time with the managers and show them immediate profits or benefits and how it actually helps them to achieve their mission. But after that, they stopped asking people to evaluate or estimate the benefit of this or that improvement. They started questioning what we proposed them to do. They got it because they experienced it. We had the same language. We had the same mindset, or at least more compatible mindset. And we also were able to gain trust. And trust is really key, but it will not appear automatically in the beginning. And I don't want it in the very beginning, because then it would actually increase my ego, and let's see where it ends up. Was that answer, or? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. When you start to use the lean as a management principle and also in the development teams, actually which part of the organization you would like to start if you're not using anything, Scrum or anything yet?
Yeah.
What would it be the best starting place?
We were thinking in a kind of multi-dimensional way. So the prioritization was multidimensional. What I mean, the one dimension was, do they want it? It's good to start with early adopters or those guys who are knowing something about lean and agile and they want to do it. So you get more pull than you pushing them. The second thing, what will be the result of that first wave or first exercise? Will it help the customer? Will it help internally to promote lean and agile? Look, this was complex enough example to work. So getting more pull from the others. What will the organization as whole? I have always problem with this word because it sounds like as whole, but I don't know how to say it differently. Help me, please. So will it help everyone in the organization to learn what it actually means? You know, and this kind of dimensions. So somewhere it was urgent. They were asking, hey, troops, come and fix the problem. Some parts were quite major in Agile already, so it was for them natural step forward, you know, and this kind of different story. So our portfolio consists of different kind of cases or teams, projects, whatever you call it, units within the organization. And these are, I would say, good dimensions to consider. Was that the answer or satisfied? Not so much. Okay, so specify more so I can answer better. It's fine. Okay.
About your topic, customer delight, you know, how you measure, investigate, study how delighted your customers are? And also, a second question, is there a difference how you study it if you are in B2C or B2B business?
So the question was how to measure customer delight. We have annual customer satisfaction survey. It's pretty good one. I guess it follows some well-known models and concepts, how to learn from customer how good you are. That's one. The second, we have quite regular touch with the customers and we invite them. And it's the basis of agile development that you invite them to be part of it. And then you get regular feedback. And you also visualize it. So you combine different levels, annual, much more faster feedback. We have also corporate-wide weekly survey, which is called Customer Pulse. It's also giving and measuring and monitoring this kind of feedback from customer, how happy they are or they aren't. And eventually you expect higher income, more customers willing to buy the product. So in the long term, it must propagate this hard facts as well. This is our approach. No rocket science in that. Was that the answer? Did it make you happy or?
So have you found it difficult to change people's attitudes from that you're not measuring the customer relationship just with money, but you have to measure it, so to speak, with these more human things as well, that is the relationship like?
I don't think that was big change. That would be in place anyway. We don't have stupid sales and marketing organization. Although you think so, but it's not the case, really. The thing is that nobody knew what to do about it. How to improve it? How to change the declining trend? They were getting very strong message from customers, but nobody knew what to do about it, and that was our contribution. That it's not the interface or this kind of way what you measure, it was more connecting everyone involved in delivering the value to think this way and propagate it further in the whole value chain, value stream. And the value stream exercise and lean workshops help with that. So connecting it and propagating that forward throughout the whole chain, not just one part, not just R&D. Not just sales, but the whole part. And that was a huge change, of course. And that will continue. Answer? Was that answer? Yeah. Okay, other questions? Do we have microphone on that side?
I can try to say it loudly. Mark already started to ask an interesting question. So how many different value streams you have customer needs and customer values might be different for same work. So different context might provide a different value stream. So do you have really configurable processes or value streams, or is there one value stream for doing one work in Tieto, for example, in service delivery?
No. Well, two-folded answer. And guys from the company, you can also help me. When I consider our official processes, yes, they are, and they are different, and they are sort of configurable, and you know, it's like elements. But everybody hates them and complains about it. And very rarely you can see that propagated in the real life. Well, you can see that propagated in management reports, but not so much in everyday's work. So the answer is yes and no. Like, formally, yes, it's in place, but it's easy to have it as a corporate standard, but it's difficult to have it truly in place. So it helps people to deliver something better. And again, it's not my focus. It's not the focus of the Lean team. The focus is to map the current reality, focus on the most important value stream first. So they write things as they do it every day. They don't write the things which are official in the project plan or elsewhere. So we start from scratch, drawing that value stream. It's not prepared. It's not an input for the workshop. It's the output of that workshop.
So, okay, continuing question, what is the level or how did you start to do the transformation or lean workshops? Did you pick up the certain big customers that you were about to lose or had the pain points or what was the start?
It was same question over there. So the answer, or similar at least, I feel it's very similar. So the answer will be the same. There were many factors as an input for decision. So the priority was multidimensional. So it was, yes, it was large customers who were ready and asking for lean already because they were agile and they wanted lean. It was the most demanding part of business asking for help. It was many. And we have over 60 cases, ongoing cases at this moment. We call them cases, and it's basically teams and concrete projects. What's the timing? Do we have time for some more questions? Or yeah, I'm 5 minutes late, right? Really? Okay, thank you so much. I hope you found something valuable in it. Thank you.